Welcome to another podcast by Every Nation Brisbane. We're so glad you can join us here today. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at enbrisbane.org. Please enjoy the following message.
Hey, Every Nation Brisbane. My name's Ken. I'm a pastor from Every Nation Melbourne. And you know what? It feels like I'm back home. Like, I spent 7 years growing up in Queensland. I had a lot of fun here. I want to let each and every single one of you know that in Every Nation Melbourne, we pray for you guys. We pray for Queensland. Just a little bit about myself. My name's Ken. I'm married with 4 children. My wife's name's Kira. You might be trying to work out what kind of ethnicity I am. So I'm half Chinese. I'm quarter German. So I think that makes me like an honorary Samoan. I'm also quarter English. But you know, I've spent a great time. I came up on Thursday night and I was invited to speak at the Leadership 215 meeting on Thursday night, and I'm so impressed with what God is doing in Every Nation of Brisbane. I'm so impressed with the quality of leaders that you're raising up. You know, God has great things for this city. God has great things for Brisbane through each and every single one of you guys. And you might be thinking, oh yeah, here we go, another out-of-town speaker is coming in, is trying to talk us up, and maybe he's going to ask for money later on, and I'll get there, don't worry about that. But you know, I really believe that God has great things. God has great things for Every Nation Brisbane, just like he has for every nation in the whole Oceania region. And he has great things because there's great problems. There's great problems in Brisbane. There's a whole, you know, I'm not sure what all the social ills are here in Brisbane, but I know that Brisbane isn't perfect. You know, the weather is great. It's much better than Melbourne, but Brisbane needs God. Brisbane, there's broken relationship. There's broken relationship between people and God. There's broken relationship between people and each other. There's broken relationship between people and just the environment in general. But God has great things for Brisbane. I'm confident of that. I'm so excited about it. I'm excited about you guys who are believing that and wanting to lay hold of that. And I tell myself that all the time. I say that to you because I tell that to myself. And sometimes I tell that to myself because at different times I don't believe it. At different times, there's different things that enter into my mindset that, you know, I think to myself, you know what, sure, God is great, but it just seems like there's so much brokenness in Melbourne. I'm sure you might feel that about Brisbane. You might feel that about your workplace. You might particularly feel that about your boss. Oh, my boss is so broken. He gives me such a hard time. You know, if only, God, you could do something in him. Maybe break him a bit more. Only to remake him. But, you know, it can be hard to believe that God has great things for us. You know, there's so many problems in the city. And sometimes we start to focus on ourselves and we start to think, you know what, there's not just so many problems in the city, there's so many problems in me. There's so many problems in me. And God, how could you use someone like me to make a difference in a city like Brisbane or a city like Melbourne? God, how could you use me? You know, I thought these thoughts. The pastor, he's asked me to share some of the things that I've learned, some of my heart for the campus ministry and ministry in general and just a heart for people and just the journey that I've been on. And part of the journey that I've been on is that at various times I've cried out to God, God, you know what? I've tried. I've tried, God. I've tried my hardest. I've tried my best. I've tried. I gave it a shot. And I thought you called me. I thought you could use me. But it just seems like in reality, everything I touch doesn't turn to gold. It just seems to fall apart. I want to share a story with you this morning of two men. One of them is in the Bible, his name's Moses, and the other one's me. And I want to hopefully encourage you about the great things that God wants to do in you and the great things that God wants to do through you, and to share with you some of my journey so that perhaps you don't need to retrace all the steps that I took. I'm nearly 40 years old. I don't know if I look like that. You can only look like you're 50 years old. So I'm nearly 40 years old, and I started campus ministry 19 years ago. So I've been doing campus ministry for 19 years. I've been on missionary support for the past 14 years, past 13 years, sorry. I've stuck at it somehow. Not only because I'm unemployable anywhere else, but because I feel, you know what, there's something that God has. God does want to do great things. God wants to do great things to us. So I want to share this story about this man called Moses. And if you've been in church for any length of time, then you'll know the story that there's the people of God. God chose for himself a people, the nation of Israel. And basically they spent 400 years, the people of Israel, in Egypt. And they became kind of like the slaves of the Egyptians and were under oppression. And God heard their cry for deliverance. It's kind of like Brisbane has been under oppression for X amount of years, and people are crying out for deliverance as well. And maybe you kind of see some of the problems and some of the issues in Brisbane, and there's something rising up inside of you saying, you know what, this is not right what's going on in my city. This is not right what's going on in my community. And if something's going to change, then that has to happen through me. I'm going to stand up and take responsibility, God. And that's what happened with Moses. He saw that things weren't the way they should be. Moses saw oppression and thought that he could do something about it. And if you consider all the different people of God in Moses' time, he was the one that was most qualified. He was actually raised by Pharaoh's daughter. He was raised in the courts of Pharaoh, and he was trained. He had all the equipping. He had all of the schooling, the tutoring. He had all of the resources. He had all of the network, the relationships. His adoptive grandfather was the ruler of Egypt, of the empire, of the very people oppressing his people. If anyone could deliver the people of God, it was Moses at this time. He had all the natural qualifications that were necessary. And Moses, he saw the oppression and he thought that he could do something about it. And I don't know if you know this part of the story, but Moses, he witnesses something going wrong, something that's unjust, that's not pleasing to God. There was an Egyptian taskmaster, slave master, because the people of God were slaves at this time, and the slave master was oppressing some of the Hebrews, some of the people of God. And Moses, that's it. This is wrong. I'm going to do something about this. But he does it in his own strength. And he murders someone. He murders the slave master. He was a young man. He saw a need. He felt a calling, but he started to operate in his own strength. I don't know about you, but sometimes young men and young women and old men and old women can be proud at times and think that they can do things in their own strength. And when we step, even when there's legitimate need, even when there's actually something that needs to be dealt with, when someone needs to stand up, he did things in his own strength. He thought that he could be the answer, and he made it worse. He was a young man and he murdered someone. And it makes me think about myself, because I used to be a young man once. I remember going to university. I started in 1995. I studied at the University of Melbourne. I did a Bachelor of Geomatics, which is Surveying and Land Information, and a Bachelor of Science. And I did this course thinking that it would be cool. Who's heard of geomatics before? Anyone? Yeah, a few people. Does it sound cool for those of you who haven't heard of it? Does it sound like that's something that would be really interesting to do? It doesn't, does it? It sounds really boring. Actually, it was very boring. And I had absolutely no passion whatsoever to do this course. It was 5 years, a five-year course at university, and a lot of money that my dad had to pay. But I stuck it out. I went to university because what else was I going to do? I went through the motions. I had no passion for this course. And then all of a sudden, I heard someone at my parents' church talk about how they could hear from God. And then I went on a youth camp, and I heard the youth speaker talk about how God wants to speak to us, that we can hear God, and that he wants to tell us why he put us on earth for. And here I was, I thought, just praying, God, I hope that I'm not called to be a surveyor. I hope that I'm not called to pursue a career in this course, although they get paid very well at the moment. Now, I heard that I could hear from God, and I wanted purpose. I wanted a calling, and I sought God. I sought him. And maybe you don't know why God's put you on earth, but this is what I did. I cried out to God. Just as I was walking around the campus between one lecture theatre and the other, and between, you know, just dreading going through the motions, but I would cry out, God, show me why you put me on earth. Why did you make me? What is your purpose for me, your plan? And I cried out. I prayed that prayer 5-6 times a day as I was walking around campus for about 5 months, and then I heard God answer me. God spoke to me. God does speak to us. If you pray that prayer, God will answer you. It took me 5 months, but I was sitting in the rare Melbourne sunshine during winter, getting as much vitamin D as I could. I just heard God say to me, Ken, I'm calling you to minister to the campus. I'm calling you to reach out to the next generation. I want you to make a difference in the city of Melbourne. Wow, okay, thank you, God. That is awesome. Now that you've spoken to me, take a seat, God. I've got this. In a sense, I was similar to Moses. I saw something. All of a sudden, I had a plan. I had a direction to channel my passion. And I did great things for God. Say no more, God. I've got this. I gave everything I had and I achieved a lot. I went on mission trips. I went on a mission trip 3 weeks to Kenya. I spoke in front of thousands of people. I was a part of planting two churches. In fact, our interpreter, he named his firstborn son after me. You know, so there's a Kenny. There's a Kenny in Zimbabwe, in Kenya. It was Ken in Kenya, and now there's a Kenny in Kenya. I went on a mission trip to Vietnam. I was smuggling in Bibles, Hmong Bibles, tribal language Bibles, and I was intercepted in Hanoi Airport. And I was interrogated for hours, and the night I thought I'd be in Hanoi, I was kicked out, and I was put in, had to fly out to Bangkok. But, you know, I stuck it to the Vietnamese communist government because I got a visa in Bangkok, and I managed to smuggle myself in, so to speak, through Laos into Vietnam, spend a month in Vietnam when I shouldn't have been there at all. You know, what else did I was shot at. I was shot at in Cambodia. I remember one night there was just like some kind of xenophobic riots over the whole city of Phnom Penh. And just fires all around. I could see him burning and just bullets whizzing by. I mean, no one was targeting me, but I could hear bullets flying around. You know, the way I put myself through university was I worked at a drive-through bottle shop in one of the kind of tough parts of Melbourne. And I was held up at gunpoint. I was on this TV show called Australia's Most Wanted. There's the security footage there. The people, they roll me and they say, we're going to do stuff to you. I say, hey, I don't care if you kill me. I'm a Christian. I'll go to heaven. And I had all these kind of exciting testimonies. In the same bottle shop, I prayed for someone who had died of a drug overdose. This person was completely white. They weren't breathing. I said, God, do something. That was my powerful, faith-filled prayer. And when the paramedics came, he came back alive. He just started breathing. Before they went out to touch him, he just started breathing again. God, I've got this. I'll be used by you. I'm a young man. I'm full of energy. I'm full of zeal. I've been searching for purpose. I had no passion for my course, but now I've got passion for you. I'm going to change the world for you, God. I wasn't part of Every Nation campus then, but I was part of a different campus ministry called Students for Christ. And we had, at the University of Melbourne, we had the largest student club in Students for Christ across the state. We were raising the most money for missions. We were sending the most missionaries across the world. I wasn't just changing Melbourne, I was changing the world for God. You know, God has better things than letting me run off without him to change the world. God has better things for me, just like he had better things for Moses, and he has better things for you. So maybe you can relate to this story. Maybe at some point in your life, you just started running the race for God before he even said, go. And you ran, and you ran, and you ran, and you wondered why things started to fall apart at various times. And this is why. God wanted Moses confident in him. God wanted Moses to be confident in him, not to be confident in his own ability, not to be confident in his own strength, and not to be confident in his upbringing by Pharaoh, not to be confident in his connection to the royal family or anything like that. God wanted to strip away false confidence from Moses. And I wonder if the things that we go through in our lives, is that a part of God's gracious action to us that he will start to take away the things that we have falsely put our confidence in? Whether it's business or money or relationships or things that have seemed to have fallen apart, could it be? Perhaps, maybe it is, maybe it's not, but this is something to pray about. God, are you trying to draw me back to have confidence, not in these other things, not in the wrong places, but in the right place? God wanted Moses confident in him. What Moses thought gave him strength was taken away in a moment. He murdered a man. He was trying to do the right thing. He was trying to be used by God. He was passionate about righting injustice, but he did it in his own strength and he murdered someone. So from being a prince of Egypt to being an exile in the desert. You know, Moses spent 80 years in the wilderness. After 40 years in the palace, he spent 80 years in the wilderness. From being a prince of Egypt to being an exile in the desert. And you know what? I read this story and I see it because I've seen it in my own life. I see it as God's grace. Because after 40 years of failing to set God's people free in his own strength, Moses was finally ready to succeed. Not because he was a prince, not because he was trained, not because he was connected to Pharaoh, but because he was chosen, because he was called. Your setbacks and your failures never disqualify you. And here's another thing. Your successes don't qualify you. Oh, whoa, look at my resume. Pray for dead people. I've been, you know, there's a kid named after me in Kenya. Do I point to that? I think there was a part of me in my zeal that was misplaced. There was a part of me that started to put confidence in those things. You know what? If this is what I've done, then what more can I do for you, God? God, you're so lucky to have me on your team. Maybe I never thought that way explicitly. but I acted that way. But God had a plan, God had a purpose. So I don't know where you're at. Maybe you've looked at Brisbane, you've looked at the different things that are going, maybe you looked at the campus, maybe you've looked at your workplace, your next door neighbours, and you thought, you know what, I'm going to do something about this. And then things haven't gone to plan. But you know what? Your setbacks and your failures never disqualify you. This is true if you're a Christian or not. If you're not a Christian here today, you might have had a whole bunch of setbacks, a whole bunch of failures in your life. That doesn't disqualify you from anything. In some ways, perhaps that's God getting you ready to be ultimately qualified. For Moses, his time in the wilderness wasn't wasted. Moses, when God called him, he thought, what am I going to do? How am I going to show them that you're with me? And God said to him, what's in your hand? What he had in his hand was a staff to use to tend to sheep. And God said, I'm going to use that to tend to my people. You're going to lead my people through the wilderness. You've been looking after sheep, now you're going to be looking after people. And this staff that's in your hand, it's going to be a sign of my presence with you. Throw it down, become a snake, pick it up. It's my power with you. Now, our time in the wilderness is not wasted. You know what? Our time even in Egypt is not wasted. Moses' time growing up in Pharaoh's court wasn't wasted. He would have learned how to lead. He would have learned a whole bunch of different things. But God used him mightily, powerfully. You know, so as I said before, Pastor Nelly asked me to share something of my journey and my heart for campus, my heart for Melbourne. And I hope that you're hearing what I'm saying and that you're thinking, okay, God, what's your heart for this city? What's your heart? You know, these things that Ken's talking about his life, about Moses' life, how do you want me to apply that to what you want to do in Brisbane? And I started out passionate, and I started out proud, and I started out relying on my own strength. I started out saying, and this is what we can say, it's almost like, and I get this, I get it that when all of a sudden we know that God has a plan and a purpose for us, we just want to tackle it, we want to just go at it. And we can say, I will change the world for you, God. You know, I said that. I live like that. God, I've got this. And I made mistakes. I made mistake after mistake after mistake. I had setback after setback. I failed over and over again. You know, when I moved from the campus ministry I used to be part of, Students of Christ, to join Every Nation, or as it was called back then, Morningstar, I had the board president of the board come and accuse me of joining a cult. You know, what are you doing? Why are you joining these guys? That impacted me. You know, maybe you guys can relate to some of that. Maybe as becoming part of Every Nation Brisbane, family members have been thinking, what are you joining these crazy people for? You know, I've been almost fired by two senior pastors and one regional director in different times. I've had friends that I've invested in, people that I've reached out to, that I've sewed into, I've gone on the spiritual journey with, and we dreamed together, had them leave. This is not unique to me. In fact, this might sound pretty mild to some of you guys. I tried to hold our church together in Melbourne. You know, we've had our ups and downs, and there was a time when it was falling apart. And on the one hand, I'm trying to hold this group of people, connect to this group of people. And you know what happens to peacemakers? People who stand in the middle? They get caught in the crossfire. I had people just, you know, from both sides having a go at me. I was told to close a church plant. I was part of a church plant. Come in, I do set up, and I run the sound, and I wasn't singing at the time, but I did the preaching, did the announcements, and then I packed up. Then when I stopped, raised up some people to do the actual setup, our guitarist left, so I had to learn how to play guitar and learn how to sing, and maybe that's why our church, that's maybe why it didn't grow so well. But here's the thing, for 2.5 years, that was hard work, week in, week out, hard, hard work. And then it started to gain traction, and then it started to grow, only to be told, hey, now it's time to close it. What? I've worked so hard to see to get to where we are now. We're on the verge of breakthrough, and you want... Yep. Burnt out over and over and over again. You know, young people can have so much energy, and you think that you will never be burnt out. And I relied on my own energy, and I was burnt out over and over and over again. You know, being as a missionary support, we've run so low on money at times, and this is a big deal, that we've considered becoming vegetarian. What a sacrifice. Like, why would I do that? Why? What's kept me going? What's kept me going for so long in campus ministry, for 19 years, 13 years as a missionary? What's kept me going for that period of time, the journey that I've been on, is not a calling to change the world. If it was only a calling to change the world, I would have given up. I would have given up so many times. What's kept me going is not a calling to change the world, to change a city, or to change a campus. What's kept me going is the King who calls me. And this King calls you. So I don't know where you're at in your journey. In a room this size, is some of you guys might be thinking, oh, this is kind of nice, some interesting stories, a little bit funny. But maybe some of you are walking through this right now and you think, I want to give up. I've tried to do things in my own strength. I've given it my best, God, and I've been disappointed over again, and I've come to the end of myself. What's kept me going is not a call to change the world, but it's the one who's called me. And this King who calls me calls you as well. And so we can say, I will change the world for you, God. But what God says is, I will change you for me. I will call you to be with me. And so we have this story going back to Moses, the man on his journey. And here he was, 40 years. I wonder how much time he had with those sheep to think about how he murdered someone, to think about how he could have been, I've wasted it all, God. I've wasted those opportunities. I could have been used by you to make a difference to your people in Egypt. And I blew it all in a moment where I made a silly mistake, tragic mistake. I wonder how much he thought. And then one day, he sees a bush burning. A bush burning without being consumed. And like a fire that does not consume, God showed up for me again and again. A sign. You know, I want to share with you about what I've learned is that I'm not so much called to change the world. I'm called to be with Jesus. I'm called to be intimate with Him. God is calling me over and over again to intimacy. What does God reveal about Himself at the burning bush? Well, the most intimate thing of all. Tell them my name. Tell them who I am. I am who I am. I will be who I will be. My name is Yahweh. And you're the first human being ever to hear my name. You thought you're just a murderer. You thought that you'd failed. But I have called you to declare my name to the greatest empires in the world, and to see my people not just set free, but led into their place of promise. Now, God called me to intimacy. He calls you to intimacy. He's revealing Himself, His name, again and again. There was probably one time, maybe about nearly 2 years, 18 months ago, I was just burnt out again. So this is a lesson I need to learn over and over again. You know, you don't just learn this once, perhaps. Maybe you guys do, because, you know, you're really cool up here in Brisbane. But I've had to learn this lesson over and over again. And probably about 18 months ago, I just said, God, I just give up. I can't do this anymore. I don't want to do this. I was preaching the next day, and it was so hard to come up with a message. I just don't want to do this anymore. And then I went in, and there was another burning bush moment. This person who visited just twice, he said, you know, I just feel like God wants to tell you something. Keep going. Keep going. So, okay, God. You do know, you do see, you do care, you do hear, you do love me. You whisper to me. You reveal yourself to me. Keep going. And you know what? Before I had a confidence in a calling to change the world for God. But now I'm confident. Now I'm more confident than ever. Because my confidence isn't in a calling, but it's the one who gives the call. My confidence is in the call. Are we saying that? Jesus is calling. I mean, do you maybe you feel it right now? Maybe you have this sense of, you know what, God, it's not over for me. Or maybe you have a sense that it's just beginning for me and Jesus is calling you. So do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what He has promised. Now, this is in the context of salvation from Hebrews chapter 10, but I want to just kind of just tweak it a little bit and apply it to what I've been talking about today. What have I learned in my journey? Don't throw away your confidence, but make sure your confidence is in the right place. Your confidence is never in what you are called to do for God. Your confidence is in who God is, who He is revealing Himself to you to be. Don't throw that confidence away. Don't throw away the confidence of being able to come boldly into God's presence. You think that what God wants from you is to change the city for Him? That's not what he wants. What he wants is for you to be in his presence and for you to be changed. And you know what the byproduct of that is? Do you know what the natural progression of coming into God's presence and being changed by him is? Oh, yes, Ken. We do. But please tell us anyway. It's that the city will change anyway. What have I learned in my journey? Don't throw away your confidence, but persevere. I've wanted to give up time and time again. 19 years in campus, 13 years as a missionary, but I can't deny how wonderful Jesus is. And if he's the one giving the call, I'll get back up again. If I've made a mistake and I've fallen flat on my face, I'll get back up again. Let him dust me off. Let him say, Ken, you are not qualified because of your upbringing, because of the things that the world puts confidence in. You're qualified because of me. If you're a Christian here today, or even if you're not a Christian, perhaps especially if you're not a Christian, Jesus calls you to him. He calls you to be with him. When Jesus was in his earthly ministry, he called the disciples to be with him. He spent a whole night fasting on a mountainside and he called his disciples not just to go out and be used by him. Scripture says that he called his disciples to be with him. He called his disciples so that they may be with him. That's our first calling. Not to change the city. That will take care of itself if we come to Jesus. Christian or not, he calls you to him. He calls you to be with him. He has a purpose and a plan. And that is not just to change the world through you, yes, but he wants to change you for him. He calls you like he called Moses. Hey, Moses, it's time to come out of the wilderness. You made a mistake 40 years ago. That's okay. I was stripping away your false confidence. I was stripping away all of your, just the things that you used to rely upon. And now all you have is this staff in your hand and my name. But I will use you. He calls you out of the wilderness. You know what? He calls you to deliver a city. What's the scripture say? Don't throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. And God has a promise for the city of Brisbane. He has a promise for every nation, Brisbane. He has a promise for you as an individual. He calls you to him. He calls you out of the wilderness. He calls you to deliver a people. Just like he called Moses. And that's going to look different for each and every single one of us. But he calls us to be with him.
We hope you've enjoyed today's message brought to you by Every Nation Brisbane. For more information about our church, visit us on the web at ianbrisbane.org. Thank you for listening. God bless.